Good afternoon, ladies. Thank you for attending our final session on seeing Christ through encouragement. In fact, this message ends our series of the year, the reality of God, seeing Christ in our everyday lives. It's been phased in my desire throughout the entire year that you would be encouraged in the Lord and that you have drawn closer to Him as a result of your time spent with Him. You know, I live on the range, the Iron Range of Minnesota, and I have a home on the range where seldom is heard a discouraging word and the skies are not cloudy all day. Who wrote that song anyway? Because for many folks on the range, common is heard a discouraging word. In fact, as you listen to conversations on the Iron Range now, they talk about a major mine that just shut down. They talk about the economy, inflation, gas prices. And when they talk about the weather, the skies are cloudy most of the day. At least that was true in March and April. So how in the world can we find encouragement under these conditions? That's why discouragement is pandemic these days. Excuse me for my play on words, but I couldn't help it. Many people are discouraged, and they're in the middle of something. They're in the middle of something very difficult. And so tonight I'm going to share with you where encouragement can be found, right there in the middle of something very difficult. For no one is exempt from difficulties. We all have occasions with finances and marriage and children and career and our health and you name it. But by the grace of God, I'm going to share with you the encouragement that we can have in Jesus Christ, because nothing else offers us sustained encouragement and hope other than our relationship with our lovely Savior. So it doesn't matter where you live, whether it's on the Iron Range or in Duluth or Milwaukee or Minneapolis, you can be encouraged in the Lord no matter what you are experiencing today. The core answer for encouragement is words, comforting words from our Almighty God. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and we're going to open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And in the New Testament, the theme of encouragement is everywhere, especially in the Apostle Paul's writings. And as I read verses 3 through 7 in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, I want you to note how often you hear the word comfort or consolation. In fact, you're going to hear it 10 times in only 5 verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you, Father, for the comfort that we have in all the passages of Scripture within your word. We're thankful, Father, for the Holy Spirit, our encourager, our comforter. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity that we can talk about the encouragement we have in Jesus Christ today. So I do pray, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' blessed name I pray. Amen. So the New Collegiate Webster's Dictionary defines encouragement in this manner. It says it's to inspire with renewed courage, renewed spirit, and a renewed hope. And do any two elements go together so well as hope and encouragement? We have a God of hope. In fact, Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we not only have a God of hope, but we also have a God of compassion. In this portion of scripture that I just read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we notice that we have a Father, and he's defined, his title is the Father of Mercies and the God of all comfort. I so appreciate that title of our great God. And in Psalm 103, 13 through 14, it says this, "As the Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers we are dust." And as I read this portion of scripture, I'm thinking, my God, your God, thinks the world of you, no matter what others may think of you. He knows your inside and he knows your outside. He knows your emotions. He knows your fears. He knows your defeats. He knows your victories. He knows your hurts. He knows your pain. He knows your struggles and he knows your anxieties. He is so tender toward us because notice what this verse said. He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. And he knows that we are fragile. We're fragile physically and we're fragile emotionally. And he knows then, in turn, how to comfort us. I so appreciate that thought. You know, the Lord Jesus had a great deal to say about his encouragement in his upper room message. And he had guided the disciples for the last 3 years, but now he was going to leave them. And they were afraid. They needed words of comfort. And the Lord Jesus had those words. And he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." He gave the promise of another comforter, and he gave a promise also that the comforter would be the Spirit of truth. Encourager is one of the Holy Spirit's names. The Greek term for comforter, parakletos, means to come alongside and help. And in the English, the word comfort means with strength. So you put those two definitions together, and what you have is true comfort or encouragement comes from the Lord to strengthen us so that we, in turn, do not lose heart. And the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father in answer to the prayer of his Son. So the Holy Spirit is none other than the presence and power of the risen Christ in you. And the Lord Jesus had a few other comforting words to share with his disciples. And he said this. He said, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Now the word orphans has rather a stinging title to it, doesn't it? You kind of go, oh, wow, that's a powerful word. And Jesus compared himself to an earthly father who would die and leave helpless children as orphans. And no doubt the disciples were concerned about that. They felt that tragedy would follow. And Jesus comforted them. And he was speaking, of course, of the resurrection. He's promised to return to the disciples. But he was also speaking about the Holy Spirit and the foundation of a new life that they would have. The Holy Spirit would come into the believers and teach them, through the Spirit of truth, their union with Christ. "You are in me," the Lord Jesus said, "and I in you." So the Holy Spirit would be the comforter to counsel, to guide, to teach, to direct us as well. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us by his presence and with us by the Holy Spirit. So I thank the Lord for that. So, in my brief introduction, I hope that you see that God the Father encourages us, God the Son encourages us, and God the Holy Spirit encourages us. But some people might question that and say, well, I'm lying in this hospital bed and I hurt. And if God really loved me and if he really cared about me, this would not have happened to me. I am very discouraged. Dear friends, one of the ways that we can ease a troubled heart is to have our eyes open and watch and see how the Lord encourages us. And so as I was writing this message, I thought, Father, as I think back on my life with you and my walk with you, I want to share with the women how you've encouraged me. And so I've come up with 7 areas that the Lord has encouraged me throughout the years, and I trust it will encourage you as well. So with our eyes wide open, are you ready to see the encouragement that Jesus Christ brings us? And I must start with the first area where I find encouragement in the Lord. And that's the Lord encourages through my salvation in Christ. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God not only demonstrates his love for us, can you see not in this verse that he also defines it for us? Indeed, we're sinners. We're sinners that are saved by grace. God judges sin, and he provides a Savior through whom he displays his love toward us. And God had an unfolding plan in ages past for us sinners. And in our sin, we stand under the judgment of a holy God who is compelled by his holiness to condemn us, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Jesus Christ stands in the gap as our substitute for sinners because of his sacrifice on the cross. And in the springtime of my life, someone shared the gospel with me and said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Carol would believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And I remember that moment so vividly when by faith, for by grace you're saved through faith, I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I knew that I had an eternity. I had an eternal home in heaven. It was not by works of righteousness, which I had done, but by the grace of God that he saved me. And I placed my trust in Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Anytime you question the love of God, go back to the cross and remind yourself, Jesus Christ proved his love for me in dying for my sins. And I stand amazed that even now, as I think about my life, having been saved for so many years, I look back and I say, thank you, Father, for loving me so much that Jesus Christ died for me. But I also know that as a believer in Jesus Christ, our salvation is not simply a guarantee of heaven. It is also a tremendous blessing we can enjoy here and now. So I think back to the cross, and I think of the love that Jesus Christ had for me on that cross, and that love sustains me to this day. I know how much he cares and how much he loves. So I find tremendous encouragement in my salvation in Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that he cares for me. God the Father loves us, and he proved his love to us because he shed abroad in our hearts his love by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. This gives me great encouragement that not only did God demonstrate his love to me, but he put his very own love into my heart through the Holy Spirit so that I, in turn, can love him and then can love others. And I can have this intimate, personal relationship with my Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. This gives me great hope and great courage and great confidence in my Christian life. I'm so thankful. This was all a gift by our lovely Savior. So as I look at Romans 8:31, there's a question that's raised. Well, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things, ladies, as we think of our lives? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. God the Father is for us and proved it by giving his Son. Remind yourself that every single day, God is for me. Even though other people might appear like they're against you, you remind yourself, God is for me, and that's all that matters. And that gives me confidence, encouragement, and hope in my daily walk. Some might be saying, well, Carol, this is not the way that I see it. I see that all things are against me. Well, with that, I'm going to take you to the next verse in Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? There's the power of the resurrection, isn't it? I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ not only died for my sins, but he was resurrected and he's at the right hand of the Father. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also give us all things? We all have bad days, ladies. But if you can bring this verse to your mind, you can consciously stop and remind yourself that even though things appear to be bad, God is working them all together for our spiritual good. Did you notice the word all in this verse? How will he not also with him freely give us how many things? All things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Several years ago, I gave a message at a ladies' retreat on the word all. It's a powerful word in Scripture. In fact, there are 5,000 alls in Scripture. And usually it's an adjective that's attached to a promise for us. Because what God is showing us is he's held nothing back for us from us in our Christian life. He's given us all things in him. And all he asks of us is that we walk by faith and trust him even through the difficult things. So I can remind myself that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That encourages me greatly. Just think, if when we were sinners, Christ gave his best, then now that we are his children, will he not give us all that we need? God is dealing with us, ladies, on the basis of Calvary grace. And he freely gives all things that we need for life and godliness. And that's why we who know Jesus Christ should interpret life differently than those who do not. Believers are the only people in the world who can be genuinely encouraged and hopeful even when things are difficult or things are hard. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Every one of his children can walk by faith. For faith is believing it will happen just as God told us. That's a simple definition of faith. Dear friend, God is getting ready to come into your circumstance, whatever circumstance you're going through today. Make a way for him by faith. It's not whether or not you have troubles in life. I'm sure that you do. But it's how we choose to handle the troubles that we have in life. There are many people who've been traumatized by many things in their life. Many difficult days, many heartaches. And the Lord is saying, it's time for you to be encouraged. Will you allow me to encourage your heart? So one of the ways I'm encouraged is through my salvation in Christ. And the second way God has encouraged me throughout the years is through Scripture and Bible study. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. I'm a great believer that God has provided us a book, the Bible. And this book has provided for what we need for living and understanding life. And the book is laid out logically. You can read the Bible from cover to cover like you would any book. And God has put many promises in his word. Some 7,000, someone once said, who counted the promises. It's a treasure chest of promises for us. And what I'm seeing in this verse is that in all the promises of God are yes, not no. And we say amen to the glory of God. And we claim his promises. And Jesus Christ says yes to his promises as well. Because all the promises are centered in Jesus Christ. And we say, amen. So when I'm reading this verse, I'm saying, okay, Carol, the Christian life is positive, not negative. When you choose to focus on determines whether you see life pessimistically or optimistically. So it's a matter of saying no to our wayward emotions and yes, to the promises of God, to turn our feelings, our emotions, Godward rather than inward and try to evaluate them, analyze them. So this takes purposeful thinking on our part, guided by Scripture, to peel away my negative emotions back to the promises of God where they should be anchored. Because when you get in God's Word, you know what happens, ladies? God's Word gets in you. Oh, dear believer, I know there's tremendous potential in your life. But that potential won't be realized until you claim the promises of God, because God sees a great deal in you. And you can awaken in the morning and say, Father, I feel like crying. Be honest with Him. He knows you. And you can say, I don't want to get out of bed this morning. I can't face the day. I don't even have the strength to make it to lunchtime. But I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your word. And I'm going to do the next thing, empowered by your spirit. I'm going to read my Bible. Even though my emotions don't feel like it. I'm going to choose to get dressed. I'm going to be gracious to others, even though they irritate me. I'm going to be soft-spoken to my children, even though they're driving me crazy. But too often, we don't want the Holy Spirit to change our thoughts, for we're loyal to our own way of thinking, even if it breeds discouragement. We focus our attention on ourselves, on our problems. We take our Bible, we lay down the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we succumb to our discouragement, and we lose heart, and then we just dwell on those things that are bothering us or concerning us. And we become then so rattled by life and life's pressures. But the Bible tells us that discouragement is never an ongoing option for us as believers. We may feel discouragement, but the Bible does not want us to stay there very long. Yesterday, I was reminded of this. You know how you wake up with a plan? Some days you have more plans than others. Yesterday, I woke up with a plan. And my plan was, I'm going to go and get my cup of coffee, and I'm going to go up into my office, and I'm going to have my Bible study and get ready for my message here. And so I thought, well, you know, first of all, I'm just going to throw in a load of laundry. I need to wash some delicates, so I took some delicates and went down and put that in my washing machine. And on my way to get my cup of coffee, I looked out and said, is that our mail there already? Our mail's supposed to come in the afternoon. No, here it is, like early in the morning. So I go out, get the mail, open up, piece of mail, look at it. What? How can this be? A very discouraging piece of mail. So then I decide, okay, I'm going to go down and I'm going to move the clothes from the washer to the dryer. And then I'm going to get my cup of coffee and I'm going to go up and study. So I get my cup of coffee and what is that clunking down the basement there? So I go down and I look into the dryer and here are my delicates in one big ball clunking around in the dryer. It sounded like a big boulder was in my dryer. And I open up my dryer. Remember, these are my delicates. And those clothes were so hard, they were like a rock. In fact, I called Barry. I said, Barry, come down here. And he said, I've never seen anything like this. I have never seen anything. How in the world, Carol, can you get these clothes into a ball that's as hard as a rock? I said, I don't know. These are my delicates, ladies. I keep emphasizing that. So bless his heart, Barry helps me untangle all the delicates, and there was malfunction in the dryer. Wouldn't you know it? Okay, malfunction in the dryer. All right, so I have come down now, and I've had a discouraging piece of news. My delicates are now in a ball as hard as a rock. And so I decide, okay, I'm going to go upstairs, and I'll get my coffee, and I'm going to start spending some time with the Lord. What in the world is this? I hear dogs barking in the back of the house, dogs barking in the front of the house, all around the house. Our whole neighborhood exploded with dogs barking. And I just wanted some quiet time with the Lord. And then all of a sudden, the four-wheelers start revving up, going up and down our road. And I think, I cannot believe this day. And I said, wait a minute, Carol. What are you talking about again? It's your lady's message? Oh, that's right. I'm talking about encouragement in the Lord. And so I spent some time with the Lord. And I said, Father, this has been not the morning that I had planned. And it was so easy for me to succumb to discouragement. And I thought about that. And discouragement is one of Satan's most effective tools to get the best of us. Do you know that? And quite often he sneaks in like he did on my day yesterday. When we have a plan, and our plan is interrupted. Our plan does not go as we had planned. And he loves it. He goes, yeah, see what you're going to do with that one now. In fact, the Lord Jesus said about Satan, our enemy, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And what does he want to destroy in the believer's life? Our joy. That's what he wants to destroy. Our joy and our encouragement in the Lord. He wants us to get our eyes off of the Lord and onto our delicates that are as hard as a rock in our dryer and a very difficult piece of mail that came in. That's what he wants our focus in so that we are discouraged. But the Lord Jesus Christ countered that. And he said, listen, Carol, you've got a choice. You can let that thief come and destroy your joy and bring you to discouragement. Or in turn, I have come, he said, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So was I going to get my eyes off of the discouraging things of the day, get my eyes back on the Lord? And thankfully, that was my decision, because this always comes to a choice for us, doesn't it, ladies? Are we going to be encouraged in the Lord or discouraged in our circumstances and our plans didn't work out the way they had hoped? And that's why it is vital that my spiritual and mental well-being is spending time daily in God's Word and in prayer. You know, I have a nightly routine. I connect my iPhone and watch to its power source to power up for tomorrow. It's a habit of mine, and I don't neglect it. Because tomorrow my life depends on it, or so it seems. But the things that mean the most to us are the things we do daily. But I need to daily download God's truth into my mind to help me fight that fight of discouragement. Now, spiritually, I need to plug in as well. Because without plugging in to God and to his word and to allowing the Holy Spirit to empower me, I have no power. Because I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself. My sufficiency is from God. When I'm looking at these verses, I'm thinking, the Lord Jesus is saying to me, Carol, I am your power source for today. And it's a daily thing. It's daily that we go in and plug into that power source. In fact, the Lord Jesus said these words to the Apostle Paul, but I'm hearing him say these words to me as well. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Some of you know that I love words, and I love to study words, and I love to study the grammar of words. And I look at this verse, and the word is pops up, that verb. And the Lord Jesus is saying is, my grace is, not will be, not maybe, sufficient for you today, Carol. I also look at that word my, and it's attached to Jesus Christ's power working in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he can make me perfect. He can keep me going. He can keep me encouraged, even though I feel so very weak. For when I am weak, he is strong. I'm going to encourage you greatly, ladies, to have daily devotions and have a daily appointment with God. And you pick the time that works best for you. And I know you're busy. We're all busy. But I'm going to encourage you for that. Get a cup of coffee or tea and read the Word of God and talk to the Lord in prayer. That fellowship is so wonderful. This is my favorite part of the day. I'm in Isaiah right now, the book of Isaiah. And I'm reading the book from chapter to chapter, and right now I'm in actually chapter 40. And I understand that the book of Isaiah is not written to us, but it certainly is for us. In fact, in Romans 15:4, it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and, what's the word there, ladies? Comfort, which is encouragement, of the scriptures might have hope. So as I'm reading Isaiah 40, I'm finding great comfort, and I'm finding great encouragement in this portion of Scripture. When I read Isaiah 40, I'm seeing God's character. I'm seeing the greatness of our God and how wonderful he is. And as I land on verse 31 of Isaiah 40, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and
not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I like that. Because many times I feel weary. Do you? Physically, we do. The Lord knows our frames, remember? He knows that we are but dust. He knows we're weary. And he says, I'm going to give you the strength you need to get through whatever it is I'm going through. You know, I have observed in my Christian life that most of God's work has been done by people who don't feel well or have physical limitations, or maybe they have financial limitations of one sort or another. How is that possible? Because when we faint, God doesn't. When we're weary, He's not. That's how the greatness of our God intersects with us. How powerful God is and how personal God is. And you know what? This encourages me greatly. So how do you encourage yourself in the Lord, ladies? The Word, the Word, the Word. I guess I just can't emphasize that enough, can I? In fact, the German 19th century missionary George Mueller spoke for many of us when he said, many times when I could have gone insane from worry, I was at peace because my soul believed the truth of God's promises. God's word, together with the whole character of God, as he has revealed himself, settles all questions. So we can encourage ourselves in our salvation in Christ. We can encourage ourselves in the scriptures and our Bible study. And we also find encouragement through God's still, small voice. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. We can be very busy, ladies, and yet our soul, if you will, can be still and settled before the Lord. And it's when we are still in our relationship with Jesus Christ, which means grounded in him, if you will, he gives us some truth that we need when we need it. Sometimes it's through his word. When we're reading his word, his still small voice speaks to us. Sometimes it's in prayer. Sometimes if we go on a walk, the Lord just brings something to our remembrance. Sometimes it could be if you're sitting on a bench in a park or driving in a car. But you never forget those moments when God's still small voice spoke to you and gave you direction in your life. Now, each of us have our own set of circumstances that we deal with, but whatever we're facing, may our hearts be sensitive to God's still, small voice. Now, we have not heard God speak to us audibly, but, ladies, there's no mistaking his voice when he speaks. God's still, small voice can change the direction of your life. These are very precious moments. Just think about the prophet Elijah, when he was hiding in the cave in fear. And God came very gently to him, as God does come to us. And he said to him in his still small voice to Elijah, Elijah, what are you doing here? Have you ever had that? Where God in his still small voice says to you, what are you doing here? And you think, that's right. Father, what am I doing here? And you see that God is changing the direction of your life. He's giving you an idea that perhaps this is not your will, that I'm in this job or in this relationship. God's still small voice is powerful. You heard me give this example a couple years ago, and I'm going to bring it to you again. That a couple years ago when Pastor Roxer asked if I would give a women's Bible study at DBC, I agreed, and then I went on my knees in prayer. And I said, Father, I need your help. I need your direction. Show me, Father, what you want me to speak about to these dear ladies. I need your counsel. And as I'm there praying to the Lord and speaking to him in a personal manner, with a still small voice, he says to me, bring Faye along. Include Faye. Include Faye. Include Faye. And I knew that was his voice because I had prayed to him about, show me the direction for this Bible study. Next day, I couldn't wait to go see Faye. Say, Faye, God spoke to me last night. And it's still a small voice. And he wants you to join me in the women's Bible study. But that's how God works. When you're having this relationship with him, he speaks to you in ways that are so precious and so memorable. The Lord Jesus Christ is with you. He is with you in your home. He is with you in your apartment. He is with you in your room. We forget that sometimes, that Jesus Christ is with us, even though he is not visible to our seen eye, yet whom having not seen, guess what we do? We love, don't we? Whom having not seen, we love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It's like his presence is right there in that room with you. Perhaps you live alone, and this is what you can say, Lord, I'm living here with you. I have friends, I have family, but why should I be lonely when you are here with me? The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We need human fellowship, but we need fellowship with our Savior more than anything else. He is with you. So practice the presence of God. He loves to be near you. So when you go to sleep at night, you can say, Father, I know you're here with me. And I know you neither slumber nor sleep. So I'm going to rest well, knowing you are always with me. That's such a comfort and encouragement to me. So here's another area that the Lord has encouraged me throughout the years. We can find encouragement through sermons. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it says in Romans 10:17. There are certain times when a message will speak to us. All sermons do us good, but they're biblical, like the ones we have in this church. But there are certain moments when we have a spiritual need or a sin or a decision to make, and we come to church and something the pastor says is as though it were written for us. Now, we've listened to many sermons in our lives, yet some have seemed to be designed by God just for me, just for us. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? The sermon or the message came at the very time you had questions about something or you were struggling with something in your life, and you hear the message and you sit up and listen. You can hardly take notes because you say, Father, you delivered this message just for me. It's heaven sent. It's the message I need for today. And when that happens, you are encouraged and you remember that for a very long time. Allow the Word of God to encourage you as you listen to the Word of God taught. And as the Word of God is preached in the power of the Spirit takes the Word and applies it to our hearts and minds. And we are encouraged because we know the Lord knows us and the Lord knows that we needed to hear that at that particular moment. The Lord has also encouraged me throughout the years through songs. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I love music. And the beautiful hymns of faith and spiritual songs as well can lift our spirit during times of sadness or discouragement. And over the years, God has used music in my life. I've been very blessed. I took piano lessons. I was able to sing in choirs at the church. I was even able to direct choirs throughout the years. And I have such a love for beautiful music that exalts our lovely Savior, Jesus Christ. Music ministers to my heart and encourages me often. It's one of the most blessed gifts you and I have, can encourage one another in the Lord. And that's why I'm so thankful that Duluth Bible Church and Heritage Trail Bible Church has a lot of music in their services, because we sing many songs before the message is given, and that just uplifts us and gets us prepared and ready to hear the message. I typically have a background of Christian music playing on my iPad in my office when I'm writing messages, because it's so helpful to me and encouraging to me to hear the words of Scripture being sung. Now, songs give us a way of encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Songs help us praise the Lord. And you'll never know when God's going to use a song that will come back and the Holy Spirit uses it to minister to your heart. I remember sharing the story with you, and I hope you don't mind, I'm going to share it again, that when I was alone in my motel room in International Falls, and I was there on business trips often, and one time I was just so incredibly discouraged. And I put on some music on my iPhone, and up comes, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." These are songs that have been of great help to me. "Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart in Christ alone. My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song, my comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ, I stand." And here was the song that I was referring to. "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." God has also encouraged me through the storms of life. And you might say, well, that's kind of a strange thing to say, Carol. You've been encouraged through very difficult times and trials in your life. Yes, I have been. As I look back, I can see it. Perhaps not so much when I was in the midst of the storm, but on the other side of the storm, I have found encouragement. For God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46:1. God sometimes puts us in impossible places. He allows us to face situations we never dreamed about and we simply do not want to face. Think about the disciples who were in a storm. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus sent them to cross to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he went up into a mountain to pray. And a violent storm came from out of nowhere with just an impossible headwind and an angry sea. And the waves were continuously filling the boat so that the boat was covered with waves. And these disciples were rowing and straining and struggling for about 8 hours, drenched and terrified. They were in a situation that seemed impossible to resolve. They were far beyond their strength and ability. So then between 3 and 6 in the morning, the Lord Jesus comes walking across the sea to them to show them that the very thing they feared, he would overcome. And he spoke to them and he said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." The Lord Jesus is actually taking the name of God and he's saying, "The I am is with you." Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he sent the disciples into the storm. It was God's will for them to be in that storm because the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to show them that he would bring them safely to the other side. They learned more about the Lord Jesus in that storm than they ever learned walking the paths of Galilee with the Lord Jesus. Lessons they never forgot. In fact, 28 years later, the Apostle Peter would write a letter of encouragement with the theme of trials and glory running throughout. And he said, "Though the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." They knew more about themselves. They knew more about Jesus Christ's power. And they knew more about how he brings them out of trouble than had they not been in that storm with the Lord Jesus. Now, our Savior sometimes brings us into storms as well. But you can live with hope and courage in the middle of what once would have produced discouragement and fear in your storm. You know, it's easier to see God's miracles in our life when we don't have blinders on, isn't it? But may we remind ourselves that the I Am inhabits all of our circumstances, all of our relationships, all of our situations. The I Am is with you. My dear brother, Paul, has been in a storm this past year. I spoke to him on the phone recently about his medical condition. He has an aggressive skin cancer that has required extensive surgery on his ears and his face, particularly near both of his eyes and into his cheekbones. It's serious, and it's a long road to recovery. Paul accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior 25 years ago. He has a love for his Savior. He has a love for the Word of God. In fact, every year, Paul reads the Bible from cover to cover. And he shared his story with me when we talked on the phone. In fact, he talked for over an hour. And as he was talking, I was taking notes. I couldn't help it because what he was saying was so encouraging to me. And so I have condensed, if you will, his conversation with me. But these are all of his words. And this is what he had to say. God is aware of my story. When I am at my weakest, Satan is there to trip me up. But when I have my weakest moment, God pulls me through it all. It strengthens my faith. I have no power regarding the outcome. The Word of God is my sword, one of the primary parts of my life. God will use this trial to show me that Christ is stronger than I ever realized. The Lord gives me overcoming power. God has made me patient and humble. The true purpose of my life is seeing Christ in everything. We have nothing to be discouraged about, only encouraged in the Lord. I won't allow adversity to bring me down. I have a choice. God is always watching over me. I focus my prayers now on the bigger picture, my true purpose in Christ, to do His will by His grace. This is part of my story. I am looking forward to the next chapter. I'm only here to sow seed. I have never been more grateful. Wow. In fact, as you think about it, as you think about your faith in your Savior, if you can say that, I have never been so grateful in your story. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sometimes we say, I want to know the will of God in my life. Well, here it is. Be thankful. Be thankful for all that we have and all that we're involved in, all that God sends us through His loving grace. Now, it's not saying that in everything, feel grateful. That is impossible. But in everything, be grateful. God doesn't give us commandments without providing the grace we need to fulfill them. That was my conclusion after hearing Paul's story. How could he be so grateful? Because he realized that God was working all things together for his spiritual good. He loves Paul, and he has a perfect plan for him, even in the midst of a storm, because Paul was confident that God was going to bring him over to the other side. So if you have trouble giving thanks, start small. Give thanks for the things which you can give thanks. For your home, your family, your school, your friends. You have a job. You have a church. You have the Lord. You have His Word. Sometimes it helps to voice out loud the things for which we are thankful. And after a while, you may even find yourself thinking, wow, where did that come from? I'm typically not a thankful person here. And now I'm giving thanks for this very difficult thing. It's not like me to be gracious or forgiving. Where is this coming from? It all begins with thankfulness. So you can look at your storm as that very bad, horrible day or experience like divorce or rejection or financial problems or cancer, disease, injury, or that very thing that drove you into the arms of your Savior. And lastly, the Lord encourages me through the saints. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Encouragement is an urgent need of our day in the local church. How has encouragement shaped your life in some way? Here's another question for you. Who has encouraged you in the Lord in your story, and how did they do it? One way I've been encouraged by my dear brothers and sisters in Christ is through prayer. Prayer is essential in our lives, and it's essential in the local church, and it's essential in our family lives as well. And God has chosen prayer as a means that we can interact with one another. Our prayers affect the way God acts in our lives, the world at large, and with brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we see across the Bible. In fact, if you look at the stories of the church in the book of Acts, every movement of God in that book was in response to the prayers of the saints for other saints. God wills to work through willing intercessors. And we have the privilege, if you will, to come to the throne of grace because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, and bring people's names to the throne of grace. And do not forsake this privilege, dear ladies. Let's not settle for prayerlessness in our lives. You and I have the privilege to know God and to see Him work because of our prayers. And I hang my head in tears when I get to the DBC prayer list and the Heritage Trail Bible Church prayer list, because there's so many hurting people today. Life is full of ups and downs, mountains and valleys. And sometimes the valleys are dark and they're deep and they're difficult, and we can pray for those who are going through those valleys. I like nothing more than to just bring that person's name before the throne of grace and just leave it there and know God is going to work on behalf of that dear loved one. And prayer is such an encouragement for me when I have people come to me and they say, "Carol, I have been praying for you." Do you know what courage that gives me? Not courage in myself, but courage in the Lord, that you actually remembered me and you brought my name before the Lord. Thank you so much for that. You can also be encouraged through a book. Like, we have wonderful Christian books that we read that can be of great encouragement to me. This past year, I have friends who've given me 5 books to read, which have been such a help to me, and I'm so grateful for that. It came right at the right time. The Lord spoke through that book, and I thank the Lord for him. You can be encouraged by a visit. You can be encouraged by somebody who just stops and greets you at church. Do you know how important that is? That is powerful. There are a lot of lonely people. And all they ask, all they need is just a recognition. "Hi, so great to see you here." And they don't forget that. They don't forget where you reach out to them and acknowledge them. We can encourage one another through a text. I text a lot of my friends. By a phone call, or even a card. We have such beautiful cards now in our churches, and you were just spending the last couple hours making cards, and I'm so thankful that you do. That's not my area of talent or expertise, but thank you for all of you that do that. And I have a friend who makes beautiful cards. Her name is Jan, and she sends me a card every month. And I must admit, I don't send her back cards. I bring her before the throne of grace, but I don't have time to write her. She says, "I have time to do this." And every month it appears in my mailbox. And when I open up the mailbox, I say, "Oh, there's a card from Jan." And it comes right at the very time I needed her to send me a card. "Dear Carol, the Lord has brought you to my mind today, laid you on my heart. I do treasure our friendship. I found encouragement in my devotional selection based on the parable of the vine dresser in Luke 13, who did not chop down the barren tree. The graciousness of God. What a balm for the soul, enveloped in shades of gray or beset by terrors of the night. God's faithfulness to us personally calms our fears of the unknown, dangers lurking in the shadows. How very thankful we can be for the long-suffering, gracious heart of God, who builds us up rather than cutting us off. Love, Jan." I thought, "Oh, Jan, that is so good, because that's what you did. You built me up by your remembering me, making this beautiful card, writing that message in there. I'm so thankful. We can encourage one another and build each other up, for a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And when you have been encouraged in the Lord by someone else, what's your first impulse? What do you want to do? You want to go out and encourage someone else as well. With encouragement that you've been encouraged. It just lifts your spirits. It's like a pebble that you throw into the water. Well, there's always an immediate impact. The ripples continue and continue and continue and continue indefinitely. So the person who's been encouraged hooks up with someone else who needs a word of encouragement. And those ripples of encouragement keep going. Only God knows how far they go. So when people come alongside us during difficult times, that's encouragement. Dear friends, we are in this together. We believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. We are one in Christ. We are on the same team, and good team players encourage one another. So as the Lord Jesus wraps his loving arms around us, when we've gone through a trial, we too can do the same with one another, and we can encourage one another because with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I'm so thankful the Lord allows us to comfort one another. That's why we love getting together like this. This is why we love our women's Bible studies, the ladies' retreat, any time and opportunity we have when we can get together and say, I've been praying for you, I'm encouraged by you, and may I also be encouraged by you, and I can encourage you as well. As I close the message, I'm going to read the encouragement that the Apostle Paul found in difficult times and see what he wrote here. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. This shows me Paul had struggles too. Paul had difficulties as well. Paul went through storms. He was like us. And in this verse, he was in a hardship far beyond his ability to endure. He went through trials, he said, to get to the other side. And he knew, though, that the power of Christ rested upon him and would get him through. And that's one of the reasons why difficulties are so important in our life. I'm going to say this gently, but it's true for each one of us. They allow us to trust God because that's when the promises of God break through for us. There are little blessings along the way that represent God's faithfulness to us, and we grab a hold of them, and we're so thankful and encouraged because God encourages us by his faithfulness to us. If we did not have any difficulties, if we did not have any stresses, if we did not have any problems in life, then we wouldn't be nearly as sensitive to the faithfulness and love of God in our life. So if we can stop for a moment and remind ourselves, we can be thankful. Dear ladies, we can't unravel all of our problems all at once. So don't even try. Just take the next step of faith. And the Lord will show you that next step. Because the Lord leads us moment by moment, step by step, day by day. He gives us grace for today. That's why the Lord Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow I will provide you grace for that day. And God will stand by you and give you encouragement and strength, not only today, dear ladies, but also in your tomorrows. So as we see Christ through encouragement, we can be reminded of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. And that encourages us. Praise God for his love for us. We can see Christ through encouragement and what Christ does in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for inviting fellowship with him in our relationship with him. And we can see Christ through encouragement and what Christ does through us. We, in turn, can encourage others. The Lord Jesus Christ can encourage you like no one else can. And even if your skies are cloudy all the day, the Lord Jesus Christ is the sunbeam in your day. He is the light of the world. He is the one who knows you best and loves you the most. If you need encouragement in your life, Jesus Christ can do it if you allow him to encourage your heart. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, simply by faith, trust in his finished work for you. And then you too can have the Holy Spirit abiding within you and you can be encouraged. I would like to thank you again for the opportunity to share our lovely Lord Jesus Christ with you ladies. Faye and I have talked about this many times. And you women are such an encouragement to us. We thank the Lord for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just stand amazed at all that you have provided for us in Christ. Not only, Father, for our eternal salvation, but for our daily walk. You care about us. You know us. You know our thoughts. You know our frame. And you are there to comfort us and to console us. Thank you, Father, for your word. What a treasure chest of promises we have there, Father. And thank you so much for all the people you've brought in our lives throughout the years who encourage us. We're so grateful, Father, for our local churches that stand on the truth. And I'm thankful, Father, for each woman here. We just love them, Father, in the Lord, and I pray for each one. You know their needs. And so I just think of them this summer, Father, that they might think of these words of encouragement and they might move forward for Jesus Christ. In his blessed name we pray. Amen.